You're one of three candidates running for the Tairunga Takiwā Māori ward. And is this your first sort of foray into politics, first time in?
No, it's not. I first got into politics at 18. I was first elected to my first community board. The youngest in the Waikato to be elected.
Wow.
If you go back 6 years ago.
Okay. And which community board was that?
Kaupiri Community Board.
Okay. And how was that as an 18-year-old? How was that going on the board?
Well, it was sort of like some of the older people in the village, they wanted to get some new blood into the community board.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was a lady called Alva Gook. She asked me if I would stand or consider it. At that time, I was already a busy teenager at the time. I had just founded my own youth group at the time in the community, so I had a lot of things going, and I think it was the elections was coming up on my 19th birthday, and so I had a whole year to think about it because it was the second year coming, well, it was just about over anyway, and when I turned 19, I ended up putting my name forward, and I got the highest polling votes for a female and the second highest out of all the candidates.
Wow. So has that been a good experience? I guess it must have been if you're looking to move to a councillor position as well.
Oh, yes. So it's been probably one of the best experiences of my life, I would say, because I got to look at in a lens where others don't get to see. And along those lenses, you also get to see the failings as well. But it's been a great experience. It's given me a lot of experience in politics. Not only that, just in governance as well. I've gone on into some other amazing places from my council experience, and just having that sort of background has, I guess, built my sort of portfolio I have today.
Okay, and you're from the Taupiri area? Is that where you whakapapa to?
Yes. Born and bred in Taupiri. My whānau live in Taupiri. We've got a homestead in Taupiri. So, yeah, Taupiri is where I come from.
Okay. And have you... So this new ward, this is covering half of the Waikato district. I guess you haven't been to every little bit of the district, but have you seen the rest of that part of the district?
Yes, I have. So I was fortunate enough to go do most of my high schooling in Narawahia.
Yep.
So I went to Narawahia High School, went right up to year 13. I have a lot of whānau actually from Raglan, my Ormesby name. That's where a lot of our whakapapa go back to.
Yep.
So the Wangaroa, the district is a lot of my whānau. There my marae is Wangaroa Marae, which is not far from Raglan. The other little districts in between, a lot of people do know who I am. I was sort of struggling whether or not I go jump for the Māori ward or do I go into a general. But I just said to myself, you know what, it's the first time and it's a special moment for Māori, but, you know, for us to even have this opportunity to have wards. So I thought, you know what, I would only be true to myself if I'd stand. So I'm, just going all in, really, and whether or not I get elected or not, I am still happy to know that whatever my outcome or the fate is of this election, I've already nabbed, a position on the Taupiri Community Board. If I have to do another 3 years on there to prove myself, then I will, because I know in the next 3 years I'll be coming.
Yeah. Have people sort of said to you, you're a bit young, especially coming on at like 18, 19?
Not really, because not really. Like, if you consider, like, you know, my experience, I would have done 6 years on a community board in a governance, like, position. That's 6 years that some people that get elected like this year would have only haven't done any experience in a governance role. And considering, like, you know, even if I don't get elected this year and I do another 3 years on Taupiri, by the time elections come around, I would have had 9 years in a governance position. And I just think that, you know, some people don't achieve that until they get, you know, further in life. And I've achieved that at such a young age. But even if you search me up and you read my story, that is just me, hands down. I would give the shirt off my back for anyone that's in need. I've been volunteering since I was 16 years old. I've always been told that I'm a young person in an old body,
right.
Because of my old withered ways. I just, I've got an old soul. I've always been told that I've got an old soul.
And so have you been? What else have you been doing through the last few years aside from being on the community board?
So at 18, again, I was first elected to my stepson's Taupiri School Board of Trustees. I've done 9 years on there currently. And just 2 years ago, I was made board chair of the Board of Trustees.
Okay.
Again, I don't know anyone younger or the same age as me that has ever been a chair at such a young age. It was such a breathtaking experience, if I be honest, because majority of the people that I sit on boards with are probably 10 years, 15 to 20 years older than me, and to have to be their boss sometimes, it does get a bit intimidating.
Yep. Hey, can I just check? So you must be like mid-20s now then, I'm guessing.
Yes, I am. And I'm also another special one I just got onto too, and coming from the Waikato, because there's never been anyone from the Waikato elected like that, I got co-chair straight off the bat for Rainbow Youth Foundation.
Okay. And is that a nationwide organisation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I don't know if you watch Treasure Island and... the guy that won off there donated $100,000 to that organisation.
I didn't see that. That's a lot of money.
Yes. So that's the organisation that I'm proud to be co-chair of, and such an amazing executive board to be a part of. And it's just, given me a different insight for our rainbow community. So I also bring that to the table, having worked alongside the rangatahi schools, networking with our rainbow community. I also have that sort of under my belt as, experience of what I can bring to our districts that others may not have.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Let's go for a big question here. What are the issues facing the Māori community in your area at the moment? And do you think council might not always be the place to want to deal with them, but how much of that can be dealt with at the council level?
What do I think is bothering our districts at the moment? I think this is going to come across sad, but I have to be honest. I feel like in terms of getting more rangatahi, more young people to step forward into positions like community boards or governance roles, we don't do enough.
Mm.
It's sad to say that 6 years down the track, I'm still one of the youngest in a position like I'm in.
Mm.
If you have a look at other districts like the Kapiti Coast, where I have made many good friends that are in the same position that I'm in, majority of those districts are trying to get rangatahi to come forward, trying to get rangatahi on our boards, and I feel like Waikato District Council, we lack that, and I don't know why we lack that for. I don't know if it's because we're still behind in time, but I feel like if we don't start getting these young people coming forward, then we're going to fall into a cycle where we're going to have the same people running all the time for positions, and it doesn't really empower or build a successful council. It just has the same old people, and then after a while, people start getting sick of the same system. And that is the reason why I put my hand forward, because I think it's about time that we see change in our district, change in supports that are given. That is one of the reasons why I'm standing, because I'm sick of how things have been since I've been in Waikato District Council for the last 6 years. I just want to see change. I want to see change not just for Māori people, but for all people in the Waikato District.
I must admit, quite a few people I've been talking to lately have pointed to not specifically youth, getting youth into political positions, but saying we need to be doing more for youth. I had about three conversations in the last week about that. So I mean, what, tell us about stuff that you've done on the community board.
Yep, so we've done a lot of stuff. We were heavily involved with the new expressway that's just gone through Taupiri. That was one of our biggest, I would say, because we sort of didn't know how it was going to go down, whether or not Taupiri would get missed. Mm. And it's been like a big journey for that. We also had a couple of significant pass sites open up in Taupiri where the village are allowed to go and visit these monumentums. That have been, you know, specially put for our Māori people. We also had the new BP gas station open, the McDonald's going in, Taco Bell. That was big things for Taupiri area. And we also had a, well, still under construction at the moment, as we've got a big housing development happening there, which would see over 300 new families coming to the district. Mm. Although it takes away that, you know, royal living, it also brings new people into our district, and we are moving in that sort of era where more homing is coming in, which is good because it bumps up, you know, our schools, our kindergartens, and also brings more money into the community, brings more whānau, and yeah, just adds to the Waikato district.
So speaking of housing, like housing, you know, housing's an issue here in Raglan Whangaroa, where, you know, a bit of the housing crisis has affected us. What about over your way?
I think housing is a big, nationwide problem. Unfortunately, we just don't have enough housing to house all of our people, and it's a sad thing when you come to that terminology that majority people are living in cars or tents or even overcrowded housing. It's something that I think not only does a council need to do more in, but our government, and that's who I would say is more responsible for that sort of issue, is our government. We need more housing, not just housing, but safer housing that is, you know, that are built so that those whānaus can stay in them for a long time, and they're not having to go to emergency housing or motel to motel or whānaus doorsteps because they've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, so the housing is, it's a, I mean, you say it's a government issue, and most people will agree, but it's also really clear that the government's not doing anything substantial about it, like to actually solve it. So then it falls to, like, if you're on council, do you think you can do something about it there?
Yeah, because, well, I actually do think we could, because if you look at Taupiri, for instance, we're getting new houses built, although they're not like for our people that probably do need them more. We are, like, you know, sort of ticking off a barrier, because we are bringing more homes in, and that's just from a developer that's from Taupiri that saw that we needed more homes and has pretty much given that sort of, you know, fixed their problem. But they're not social housing. Like, I feel like that's what we probably need more, is social housing.
Yeah.
But it is heading in the right direction, because by having this developer build the homes means that, like, hopefully, you know, some of our whānau won't be sleeping in cars. But I do think that it does need to be really looked at from all sorts of levels of council, government. We do need to do more. If we don't do more, we're going to find ourselves in a pretty tricky situation that I don't think any of us would want to be in.
Mm. Aside from housing, what else are people telling you that there's issues in your community at the moment, and the wider Māori community for this whole southern part of the district?
I would say a lot that gets talked about all the time, and is one of the reasons why I started my own youth group at a young age, would be the youth crime rate, the vandalism in communities, the burglaries, children not going to school, children not having a sense of wanting to stay in high school, or feeling like the community's just not listening to them. No opportunities given, those sort of things. I feel like they don't only relate to youth, they relate to the whole sector. I feel like that's one of the big, you know, especially for Māori, We all know that, you know, Māori have one of the highest crime rates here in Aotearoa. It's sad to say, but it's a true fact. And I just feel like if we gave more time to our rangatahi and looked at what they're doing and why they're doing it, and, like, you know, instead of making broken promises all the time and actually stuck to our tohu and made changes that they saw appropriate, we may see our rangatahi change. I've been trying to do that since I was 16. I did it good for 5 years. And then I saw that it was a battle that I couldn't win on my own, that I actually needed more people coming forward and helping. And it's sad when you come to that realisation that you actually need more people to help, and I couldn't do it on my own. But I was fortunate to have touched over 40 young rangatahi lives back when I was doing that kaupapa, and many of them have gone on to be parents themselves, own homes, you know, beautiful jobs. And when I see them, I know that a little bit of recognition is because I cared enough to help them when they were in a time of need.
So what do you think a council could do in that realm, like a youth hub in each community or something like that? Is that something a council could do?
Yeah, well, yes, I believe so. I believe that we need to have more, like, youth hubs, safe havens for our rangatahi to come to. Mm. I know that a lot of people like to express in forms of graffiti art. So we could, like, look at even, like, getting those people that are talented, like, doing murals in our towns so that there is not graffiti all over the place. Instead of looking at it as in graffiti, look at it as an art. Because some of those people that are doing these graffiti around our district are some of the most creative artists that we would have. But because we don't invest enough time or money into the situation, we go on to think that they're just making our town look ugly. But in actual, that's a person that's got artistic. And I think if we, like, you know, invest in those sort of things, we may start to see the cycle change.
So I'm just interested, like you said, you started getting active in this area like when you were 16. What, and most 16-year-olds don't, so what, do you know what it was about you or what inspired you or what it is about you that caused that to happen?
Yeah, well, I woke up one day thinking, I got to 16 and I thought, you know, no one's doing anything for us. We're getting all these promises made, but nothing's, like, happening. So I got together a few young people in the town at the time, because we were in a bad situation going back then. We had a high crime rate. We even made the Waikato Times, and that because of how many times houses in Taupiri were getting broken into. So I thought, you know what, we got together a group of us, and at the time we've got a walkway up in Taupiri by our sacred maunga. And it is a public walkway, but not many people know about it. So we started actually clearing the walkway track, and little by little we got more and more rangatahi involved, and soon the community started to notice a change. And when they noticed the change, they noticed that the youth were now investing their time into volunteering. And once I introduced them into volunteering, we've seen a big shift happen in Taupiri. The rangatahi had more pride because they had people that they didn't think they would even get, like, a handshake from, come up to them and say, "You're doing an amazing job." Mm. And I think it was because they were hearing all these amazing things that made them work even harder. We did that project for over 5 years. We won some amazing awards out of it. I took a group down to Parliament, where our youth group actually won a special youth award. Waikato District Council also the year ran, like, a youth award as well, where our group took out Champions of the Earth, and I got the Like a Boss category winner. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and we also did a lot of, like, I would say over 10,000 volunteering hours, all free. We had no money at the time. We just used tools from home, and people donated tools for us to use. And we sort of just, yeah, paved our own way.
That's and that just started from you getting together with some people you knew, just off of you, for your own motivation, basically.
Yeah, it all just started just off, you know what, if no one's going to help us, then we need to make the change. And that's pretty much, if I be honest with you, that's where it all started. Like, that is, like, yeah, that's where it all started from me. Like, from a young age, I've always been a person that will help. And that is exactly what I've been doing ever since. I'm helping.
So let's get back to, like, the new, we've got these two new Māori wards, and you, I mean, you will have been watching this coming, and it all happened quite fast in the end. I mean, how exciting was this for you?
Oh, it was really, really exciting. I was fortunate enough to go down to, so local government, they hold a conference every 2 years. I was fortunate enough to attend the one down in Gore. At the time when I was attending, other districts, like Wellington and I think Rotorua at the time had already voted in Māori wards, and I was getting semi-excited because I was like, yes, the shift is coming, it's here, it is, it's like, it's happening. And I was so excited, and it was a no-brainer. I knew that we would get those wards in Waikato District Council, and when I heard that, yeah, it was coming into effect, I was super excited because I knew that now we could, you know, it's not about having our own people stand forward. I think it's just about having different diversity voices on council and not just the same voices all the time. I think that's what I was more excited about, is that now Māori have a voice and that it's not going to be taken away. And I think it's a big change for council. I'm excited to see, like, how it's going to happen in the next 3 years and what's going to come of it. Super excited.
So it's interesting to look at the whole, like, the whole big picture of this, because this, like, we have the treaty and it's a partnership in theory, and, you know, a partnership is 50-50, and I mean, there's a variety of opinions about this. I'm sure there's people who are uncomfortable with having two Māori seats, but I mean, do you think ideally one day that all of our governance will be 50-50? Is that something that you contemplate?
I wish I could say that one day I'll see 50-50, but the reality of our situation is that it'll probably never be 50-50. Māori will probably always get the back seat, and that's how it's been ever since, you know, the treaty was signed. I still feel like, as of today, Māori have still got the less hand than what we should have been given. We should have really had 60 and, you know, and the other party's been given 40, but in this aspect, it's like a reverse. We've been given, you know, I would say 20, and, the other party be given 80. I hope, my only hope is that, you know, for the future that, yeah, it is a partnership and it is a 50-50 agreement, but I can't handle my heart say that I will see that in my lifetime. I can only wish that for my future generations to come, that maybe one day that we will see that change.
So do you think, how effective do you think two council positions out of, how many are there, like 14 or 13, something like that?
13, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, two is a start. It's a big start. Like, if you think about the last 3 years, we had none. So to have two is a step in the right direction. And hopefully over time we can see that number to grow. But there's always the chances of other Māori getting into their general roles too, which is a bonus as well. So it's a start. It's, you know, I'm not going to say it's like the best, but it is a start, and we are moving in the right direction. And I guess all we can do from there is keep, you know, working on that and building it, and letting people see that, you know, having these wards have been a success. And by that's how we can, you know, measure up whether or not it's working or not.
And do you think, like, as this is so new, do you think that the role in, if you win the Tairanga Takiwā Māori ward, your role is purely advocating for Māori? Is there a wider responsibility to the whole district? Like, how do you feel about all that?
So I wouldn't just say it's about Māori. It's about every individual, because we all make up a district, you know. Whether or not we're Māori, whether or not we're other ethnicities, we all matter. And, like, I've made that clear from the day dot that I stood. I not only stand for Māori, I stand for all people that have lost their voice in a council that has either over-promised and under-delivered. I'm not just going to say I'm standing for Māori. I'm standing for all people that have lost faith in our current council system, that want to see change, that want to see, you know, different. Like, you know, I'm a young person standing. I have that against me at the moment because people would think I don't have the experience. But in actual fact, you know, I've done so much, like, volunteering. I've been on so many different boards around our district. And I just, to be honest, just want to see that, can I fill those boots? Am I good enough, you know? And that's been one of the biggest, I guess, scariest realisations is at the moment I'm going against two strong wahine. They are, you know, elder than me by so much. But I just keep having the faith that if our communities want change, then they will vote me in. You know, age is just a number, and amongst all those I go against, I just have enough experience as them too.
So
yeah, and I just an important part I think I should just mention too is that, you know, this year on the 21st of May, I actually went into Waikato Hospital. I had a surgery on my back, and it didn't go good. I had 9 surgeries in 13 weeks. I came straight out of hospital into campaigning. I've been asked the question, how do you do it? How do you come out of hospital for 13 weeks, had 9 surgeries, and still stand in front of a crowd and have this faith that no one would ever realise that what the battle you've just been through? And I think it's the people. It comes back down to the people. I didn't want to be at home moping around and thinking what could have been. I've got the hugest heart, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to, instead of moping around home and feeling sorry for myself because of the situation I've just been through, I'm going to invest in everything I have to standing for this year's wards. And that is exactly what I've done. I've gone all in. You know, I've told my wife, even if I'm not successful, I'm happy with that. I've come to the terms that, you know, I'm happy if I don't get in, because at least our community will know who I am now, and that come next 3 years, then maybe I might just get my shot. And if I don't get it in the next 3 years, well, then I'll just keep trying. I'll never give up.
Hey, look, Shana, it's time for us to wrap up and move on. But I have to admit, I didn't really know anything about you before this conversation, but it's been really interesting hearing about all the things you've done and how you started on this journey so young. So thank you for your time this morning.
And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I really, truly appreciate it.
That's all right. And we'll send you the links to the podcast so you can have a listen and share it with other people as well.
Oh, thank you so much.